Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, and all saints from the branch churches and souls all over the world, and the viewers, GCN viewers, and Cain felt resentful because God accepted only his brother Abel's sacrifice. His brother obeyed God's will, but he offered sacrifices according to his own desire. So he was not accepted by God. Because of it, Cain became angry and he even bore a grudge against God. God found the evil stimulated in Cain and reprimanded him. He wanted to prevent Cain from committing the greater sin, but Cain didn't listen. Genesis chapter 4:8 says, Cain told Abel, his brother. It means Cain poured out the feelings in his heart to Abel. It means that he told Abel what kind of feelings he had and why he had those feelings. Abel was hurt by Cain's words. Cain said to Abel, I have a grudge against you. I got angry because of you, and I was rebuked by God. His words caused Abel to have a great deal of a heartache. God told Cain to calm his anger down and not commit any more sin, but Cain did the opposite. Please look back and see if you are suppressing evil or increasing it. Instead of calming his evil, he continued to develop it. He didn't listen to God's reprimand at all. As time passed, the evil feelings grew. Since Cain learned the truth from his father Adam, Cain knew he should not have done that. So he tried to control his feelings, but he couldn't do it. Rather, his ill feelings worsened and resulted in evil actions. This is the attributes of sin. Unless you pull out the evil the moment it's planted in your heart, it will soon grow up and take over your heart. Then you will be incited by the enemy devil and Satan, and you cannot control your heart. You may think to yourself, I shouldn't do this, but, and then you become the slave of sin. Before reaching this stage, when you realize that this is a sin, God is not pleased with it, you must immediately turn back. If you are unaware of your evil words and actions, your life is not in keeping with God's word. You always hear good words, but you don't read the Bible or take the words to heart. Controlling evil is not done by your will alone. You should receive the grace and the strength that God gives and the help of the Holy Spirit. So you should always be awake and pray fervently. Now Genesis chapter 4:8 says, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Cain killed Abel. The first murder of mankind took place. Besides, it wasn't that he did it out of the anger immediately. His sin is very great in that he acted at good time while harboring accumulated ill feelings. Furthermore, even though Cain heard the word of the reprimand from God, he ignored it and committed sin according to its desire. There are some among you hear many words of the advice in sermons, yet still do not turn from evil. It shows how greatly evil was planted in his heart already. The phrase The phrase of while they were in field suggests that Cain waited for the right time to kill Abel. He already had a plan to kill his brother, and he was waiting for the timing to be right. That Cain had carefully prepared to carry out the murder. The fact is that when a person strikes another with the intent to kill him on purpose, the sin is regarded all the more grave. In 2 Samuel, you can find an example of a murdering out of the personal enmity. It was 7.5 years after David had become king of the tribe of Judah. The remaining 11 tribes were still under the control of Ishbosheth, Saul's son. At the time, Abner, the commander of the Ishbosheth's army, came to David representing the 11 tribes of Israel and proposed a peace. David treated Abner very kindly. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 3:21, Abner said to Dad, "Let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may be king over all that your soul desires." This was a good opportunity for David to establish a united kingdom without war. Abner had departed in peace. However, there was a man who sent him his men after him to bring him back. It was Joab, the commander of David's army. 2 Samuel chapter 3:27 says, "So when Abner returned to the Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gates to speak with him privately. And there they struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of the Asahel, his brother." Joab harbored a grudge against Abner for killing his brother in battle, and he plotted to kill Abner. He committed the evil deed that could ruin a major national event in order to avenge a personal grudge. His selfish motives are also involved in it. If Abner, the enemy general, comes under David, Joab's positions can be at stake. Abner's contribution of bringing 11 tribes of Israel to Dave would be very great, and thus Dave would have to treat Abner properly. Joab predicted that Abner would become his superior. That's why Joab used an evil scheme to kill Abner. Because of this, David could have been put in a very difficult situation, but he acted wisely and eventually united the kingdom. Later, Joab committed the similar evil act again. When Absalom was briefly king after stealing her of the people, his commander of his army was Amasa. When David returned to Jerusalem after suppressing the rebellion, he promised to appoint Amasa commander of his army. In 2 Samuel chapter 19:13, David said, "Say to Amasa, 'Aren't you not my bone and my flesh? May God do so to me, and more also, if you will not be commander of an army before me continually in place of Joab.'" Actually, to kill all the traitors was conventional. David had a good intention to win the heart of those who had joined the rebellion by embracing the enemy leader. Then David commanded Amasa to call out the men of Judah. At this point, Joab intervened again and killed Amasa. 2 Samuel chapter 29-10 says, Joab said to Amasa, Is it well with you, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa was not on guard against the sword which was in Joab's hand. So he struck him in the belly with it and pulled out his inward part of the ground and did not strike him again, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of the Bichri. Joab frequently stood against David's will and did evil act in such a way. Regarding this, 1 Kings chapter 2, 32 says, The Lord will return His blood on His own head, because He fell upon two men more righteous and better than He and killed them with a sword. While my father David did not know it, Abner, the son of the Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of the Jetha, commander of the army of Judah. If you intentionally harm someone with a malice, you will surely receive the retribution for that sin. In Numbers chapter 35, the law of the Moses also dictates that the murderer shall surely be put to death if he killed someone on purpose. Numbers chapter 35:20-21 says, if he pushes him of hatred or threw something at him lying in wait, and as a result he died, or if he struck him down with his hand in an enemy, and as a result he died, the one who struck him surely be put to death. His murderer, the blood avenger, shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. On the other hand, God opened the way to survive for those who mistakenly killed others without any grudge. He placed the city of a refugee from the place to place where they could flee to. Even in today's courts, sentences are sometimes reduced for the intentional crimes. Even when two men committed the same sins according to their motives, the level of punishment differs. Was it accidental, premeditated, maliciously intentional, or unavoidable for living? The sentence varies depending on the reason for the crime. Our God the Father searches even the depth of the people's heart. God judges each person by taking into account their circumstances and the situations, whether they were momentarily tempted to the sin because their faith was weak or deliberately disobeyed out of a malice, or whether they stumbled once, or whether they were always disobedient. The trial and the tribulations you face are not unjust. God is righteous, and He will forgive what need to be forgiven. It is imperative that you do not intentionally make life difficult for someone or do harm to others. However, if you keep your discomfort or resentment towards someone inside without letting it out, it may come out one day. Let me examine two cases. The first is when someone is praised. You should rejoice together when someone is praised in the truth. You can't be with them who you've had uncomfortable feelings for. If they are recognized, you feel even more uncomfortable, thinking, he did something wrong to me, but good to his senior, and now he's praised. Feeling as though you were treated unfairly, you may let others know about his flaws and criticize them. However, does criticizing him allow for you to be lifted up? Even though you are lifted up before people, how can you deceive the eyes of God? Every form of the evil in the hearts of a people is eventually revealed before God. Moreover, if they had a plan out of evil in their hearts and put it into action, how can God not know about it? How about when the person you are upset about does something wrong and is concerned or criticized by others? You may criticize the man along with others as if you had just waited for the moment. Also, you added a feeling saying, I already knew he would do this. He was like this from the beginning. It proves that you've kept the ill feelings and the grudges against the person. With this mindset, you can gain power and handle things with selfishness. You can judge unfairly and shift the blame to others without ground. God tells you to love even your enemies. And Ephesians chapter 4, 26 says, Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. In addition, Romans chapter 12, 17 says, Never pay back evil for evil. To anyone respect what is right in the sight of all men. Yet still, you don't erase evil feelings, but keep them and later pay back evil. You should know how grave a sin it is. First John chapter 3, 15 says, Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. But if you hated not just once but many times, how many murders would you have committed? So, your prayers are blocked, answers and blessings are delayed, and instead, trials come, but you do not realize it. If these negative emotions, such as resentment and hatred, accumulate, they can lead to illness. People in the world may feel good only when they pay evil for evil, but it never is so. I hope that you can truly understand it will be great harm to you just to bear evil in your heart as well as to repaying evil with evil. In fact, harboring evil in your heart is painful and difficult. Therefore, abandoning it and filling your heart with goodness and love is a happiness. Even when someone acts with evil towards you, the will of God is that you pay back goodness. Only when can you save the other person as well as yourself, then you can accomplish the will of goodwill of God. Therefore, I wish for you to long for goodness all the more. I hope you can understand the goodwill of God the Father when He says, cast off every form of evil. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, now let's take a look at the Genesis chapter 4, 9. It says, Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? God already knew Cain killed his brother Abel and asked Cain. It was not to call Cain into account, but God did it to show Cain his mercy for him. That's key. He gave Cain a chance to repent. However, Cain said he didn't know. He feigned complete ignorance. To hide his evil act, he shamelessly lied. Furthermore, he proudly defied God and said, Am I my brother's keeper? Proverbs chapter 9, 8 says, Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. You shouldn't simply point out someone's mistake. Save it for people who can take it as a lesson. Otherwise, you'll only end up facing backlash. Rather, arrogant people hate those who give them advice. The Bible also says not to throw pearls to pigs. Rather, advice should not be given to these people. It should be given to those who can gratefully receive it and further develop themselves. If you feel uncomfortable when you receive such a rebuke and admonition, you should know that you are an arrogant person. In tonight's scripture, evil was planted in Cain's heart. He didn't realize the love of God, but rather showed hostility. It shows how much evil was already planted in his heart. Such examples like this are found in many parts of the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 22, Ahab, the king of Israel, was allied together with Jehoshabeth, the king of the Judah, to wage the war against Aram. Jehoshabeth suggested that they should inquire the will of God before going to war. Ahab gathered the prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them. Then they said he would win the battle. Jehoshaphat thought it strange and said to Ahab, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" Then 1 Kings chapter 20:28 says, "The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There's yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He's Micaiah, son of Imla.'" What Ahab said was that he hated the Micaiah, the prophet, because Micaiah didn't prophesy the good concerning Ahab but evil. Whether you like it or not, you should take the word of the true prophet delivers as the will of God. However, King Ahab was so weak and that he could not discern whether it was God's will or not. He didn't even have a heart to obey the will of God. Again, Micaiah, the prophet, delivered the ill prophecy that Ahab would die in the battle, and Ahab put Micaiah in prison. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, "A man who hardened his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond the remedy." As a prophesied, Ahab was killed in battle. Micaiah's prophecy troubled Ahab's mind, and so he disguised himself in the battlefield, but he was killed by an arrow. There's another king who walked a similar way. It was Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. By the time the northern Israel had already fallen and the southern Judah was under the harsh military rule of Babylon, Judah was forced to pay tribute to Babylon and follow its policies. The prophet Jeremiah tells Zedekiah that it's God's will for him to submit the Babylonian rule. Southern Judah was in such a condition as to be judged in the justice of God. But God said that Judah would be restored after 70 years. A long time prior to that, the 12 tribe of Jacob grew in Egypt to form a nation. Likewise, God told Judah that they would be born again as an outstanding nation after they humbly endured under the rule of Babylon. Dear saints, if you are rebuked for your sin and repent, God will quickly restore your situation. Blessing will come again. However, if you do not repent, the trial will continue. It is just as Jeremiah chapter 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Father God wants to give us true peace. He wants to give us joy, happiness, and peace, not difficulties. King Zedekiah and his people didn't understand such a deep will of God, but they rather treated Jeremiah as a traitor and persecuted him. And they made an effort to resist Babylon. Eventually, the army of Babylon surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Since Jerusalem was an impregnable fortress, 1.5 years passed by, the city was under siege. Meanwhile, Babylon kept suggesting Zedekiah to surrender, but he didn't listen. It was because the false prophets told him that God would help the king to escape from threat. Then one night, Zedekiah discreetly sent for Jeremiah. Yet still, Jeremiah delivered the will of God. Thus say the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will indeed go out of the officers of a king of Babylon, then you will live. This city will not be burned with a fire, and you and your household will survive. But if you will not go out to the officer of the king of Babylon, then this city will be given over to the hand of the Chaldeans. And then they will burn it with a fire, and you yourself will not escape from their hand. Then Zedekiah opened his heart as written in Jeremiah chapter 38:19. He said to Jeremiah, I dread the Jews who have gone over to the Chaldeans, for they might give me over into their hands, and they will abuse me. He was afraid that when he first surrendered Babylon and met his fellow countrymen who had been taken captive, they would ridicule him. He considered more about saving his face than life, than death for nation and the people. Preservations of the Holy Temple, thus Jeremiah exalted the king once again. He said to the king, they will not give you over. Please obey the Lord in what I'm saying to you, that it may go well with you and that you may live. However, Zedekiah didn't listen to him to the end. When the city wall was breached by the Babylon army, he fled out of the city, but he was caught. As a result, his eyes were blinded. He was bound in the feathers of the bronze and brought to Babylon. His two eyes were gouged out. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jeremiah, the prophet, proclaimed the will of God even when people didn't listen to him, but rather ridiculed him. His heart at his moment is well described in Jeremiah chapter 28:9. He said, for each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim the violence and the destruction, because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derisions all day long. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I'm weary of holding in it, and I cannot endure it. Those who truly love God and the souls come to have this kind of a hurt. If you do not convey the God's will to soul on the way of the death because you are afraid that he will be offended or suffer, then you hate him. If you truly love him, no matter how bad your relationship with him goes, saving his soul should be put the first. I've been doing pastor work with this mindset. Sometimes I found it difficult to preach God's will, and I'm sure the saints listen to own either. Still, I've been preaching about sin, righteousness, and the judgment. If you only speak good words and preach good content, how good it would be. The listeners would feel good too, but the result is not good. As a result, countless souls came out from the darkness into light, going to the Spirit and the whole Spirit. It is just as Ephesians chapter 5:13 says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, I hope that you can give thanks even when you are admonished or attend is drawn to you. If you desire for heaven, you should cherish the joyful, accept any advice you receive to get there. Through such advice, you can re-examine your words and actions, understand yourself better, and find happiness. Please reflect on yourself, whether you say good things or not. If you act goodness or evil things, you should always humble yourself and pay attention to whoever advises you. Even if your young child advises you, you should be humble enough to listen to him. You should first have the heart to listen to like this. You can then discern the right and wrong. You listen and follow it is the truth. If it's not, then you don't need to obey it. If you don't even try to listen at all, no matter how right the word is, you cannot accept it right. The deeper you go into the Spirit, the more you will find yourself without anything to blame in you. It is because you keep the commandments of God joyfully all the time. You will keep the commandments more joyfully as you understand the Father's hearts more clearly. Even if you are rebuked by God, you will fill everything with love and be transformed into more perfect light. However, Cain didn't realize the love of God the Father, but he was desperate to hide his crime. As a result, he paid a severe price for his sin. I will talk about it this next lecture. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may take today's word to your heart and always walk in the light, bringing joy to God the Father.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.